When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Listening to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, the publishers of Big Blend magazines, and also full-time travelers on the Love Your Parks tour, where we document parks and public lands across the country. Today, we are airing from Madison, Wisconsin. It's cold, and we're sitting with a bunch of dogs. We've got two collies, and we got a poodle that we're taking care of while we're here in Madison, and that's the way life rolls. And this is all part of life. You know, you have dogs, and I know we're going to talk about dogs on today's show. Poop, water, that's just two of the things we're going to talk about with dogs, and a whole bunch more. We're super excited to welcome Shelby Lees on the show today. She's a senior editor at National Geographic Kids Books, and she's joining us to talk about their new book, The Coolest Stuff on Earth, A Closer Look at the Weird, Wild, and Wonderful. You can go to kids.nationalgeographic.com to get the book, Amazon, all your favorite places. But yeah, we're going to talk about dog poo. But welcome, Shelby. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
We're doing good. How many times are you introduced onto a show talking about dog poo?
You know, it happens more often than you might think in this line of work.
I know. It's like, and it's odd that everyone may experience dog barks during this, but dogs are actually make quite a few entries into the coolest stuff on earth, which is really interesting how foxes, dogs, they're all part of this.
Yeah. You know, we love dogs. Everybody loves dogs. And there are some fascinating things about dogs that you may not know. For example, you know, you mentioned dog poop. And one of my favorite facts in this book is that there's a dog park in Massachusetts where the streetlight is run by dog poop. It's actually powered by dog poop. So, you know, when you're out there with your doggy and he does his business, all you do is clean it up and put it in what's essentially a composter. And it's rigged up so that it uses the gas from the composting to power the street lamp. So, you know, why that isn't on every street corner, I don't know. It seems like it would be good motivation for people to clean up after their dogs.
I love this. You know, Nancy and I house sit and pet sit as we travel across the country. It's our in-between time from when we're doing all of our footage and everything, and then we need to sit and do all the production work with, I know you know all about that. And so we need a place to land and just chill and do our work and hanging out with animals keeps us balanced. And so we do a lot of dog walking, and it's true. I always wonder, like I always talk to the people. I'm like, what do we do with the poo? Are we okay to put in the trash? Everybody has a poo regimen. It sounds weird, but it's true. Some people don't put in the trash can because it's going to bring, like it stinks because of the heat, or like everyone's got a different poo regimen. So I really think that this should be around the world. Like this should be a new movement. No pun intended.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. I think everybody should do this, not just Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. We should take, you know, control of that. And like, every neighborhood should say, we have neighborhood watch, and then we have neighborhood poop lights. And that would be awesome.
That would certainly save a lot of neighborhood strife, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's kind of cool, you know, because you do not know what to do. And it would, you know, encourage people to actually pick up after their dog. But the other thing you talk about with dogs is about how, you know, when dogs jump in a river or a pool and they get out, how they can shake how much water off. This is incredible.
Yeah, you know, it's something that anyone who has ever been near a wet dog has experienced. But, you know, one thing that we learned while we were doing the book is that dogs can actually shake up to a pound of water off themselves in less than a second, which is just mind-boggling to me, a whole pound of water in a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, it's important for them to get dry really fast so that they're not getting cold and they're not staying wet. But, you know, it actually, the way it works is that dog skin is pretty loosely attached to their body. So once they get that shake going, they've got that torque going, it creates a force that's up to 12 times Earth's gravity to just expel that water like a rocket off of them.
Huh, that's amazing. It's amazing. So,
wow.
When you look at the book, again, everyone, this is National Geographic Kids. It's the coolest stuff on Earth. A closer look
good
at the
adults.
Weird, wild, and wonderful. I think about the holiday season right now and just even general of like getting books for kids during 2021. Homeschooling is becoming kind of a norm. There's online studies. There's, you know, parents are trying to do the best they can. Grandparents, everyone's kind of stepping in. What are we going to do with our kids? Schools are opening and closing. Does this kind of help get a family together to learn together? Because when Nancy and I look at these books, and we've done a lot of book interviews for National Geographic Kids over the years, and we're always saying the same thing. This is something that all ages can get involved with. Adults, parents can
for sure
go like, dude, this is cool, man. We all love these fun facts. But I feel like this is something that can get kids, number one, excited about learning, and kind of connect the family into working together to learn together and enjoy it and have fun with it.
Yeah, we pack so much into these books, and we try to cover something that everybody or anybody will find to love. And, you know, what goes in here are the things that we as the book team find the most interesting and the most exciting. So kids, adults, everybody in your family, you know, I say just put it out on the table, let people flip through it, and everyone's going to find a different fact in there that just catches their eye. And, you know, I've even heard about families who, you know, maybe they can't see their cousins, you know, because of travel restrictions over the holidays. So, you know, they buy one for their family, one for their cousins, and then you hop on a video call together and go through the book and share and point out, you know, the most interesting things to you. So it's a great way for families to connect in your own house or across virtual visits.
Shelby, we're really glad you talk about like families getting together, especially over like Zoom calls. Everyone's doing these different, you know, everybody's got a different app or whatever. So I'm not really endorsing Zoom, but I'm just saying we're kind of all doing that. It's becoming a household word now and a way of life. I think what's really cool about what you said is it's almost like a book club that families and friends can start. So especially for homeschoolers, couldn't like a group of kids get together over one book, not just like, hey, my friend and my cousin, or this could actually be like a way to get kids to almost adopt doing like for in the future when they're adults.
Absolutely. You know, reading and learning is such a social activity. You know, so many times we kind of read, you know, whatever book we're reading to ourselves. And unless you're in a book club, you're not really talking about it with people. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. A book like this, you really get that social aspect of it because you want to talk about it. You know, we put out this book, you know, for kids to have fun with the learning, but you could even, you said homeschool, you could weave this into a lesson. You know, we give you short snippets of fascinating information, but you know, kids can hop online and research, and if something is interesting to them, they're really going to want to dig into it, and they can start doing all kinds of research and sharing that information with their friends and family.
And also, part of the book, what I think is cool is that you put put some of the pages on their side in a way. Where I know Nancy and I are looking at the digital side of things, but you've got your normal pages that you flip, but you're actually getting kids to move the book. Is that kind of a pattern interrupt, if you will, to get them to be more interactive with an actual book, handheld book?
Yeah, you know, it catches you off guard when you come to one of those pages that is set vertically instead of horizontally. But it also gives us room to do different kinds of photography. A lot of those pages that you mentioned are lists. So, you know, you get a nice big vertical list once you turn the book on its side. So you get to compare all kinds of photos and information, and it makes for a really fun reading experience that way.
Oh, and so then kids can process and kind of like look at one versus the other. So there's that mental thing that's happening for their brain, which is really cool too, when they start comparing and, you know, having that kind of thing. Now, Nancy, you immediately had an affinity to one cool character from Australia.
Larry the Lobster. I love that. I want to go to Australia just to go say hi to Larry. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say a 56-foot giant lobster maybe isn't my cup of tea, but
what made them do that? I mean, I think it's way cool, but
yeah. Yeah, the lobster is on our bizarre roadside attraction spread, and we've got the lobster. We have a toilet museum in India. You know, you just never know what you're going to find when you're out there traveling. And sometimes the coolest stuff is just off the beaten path, like a giant lobster in Australia.
You know, one of the reasons we started a magazine long ago when we were living in South Africa was I got lost on some farm road in South Africa, and I came across this huge 50-foot globe of the earth. It's this huge culture, and it had the Forth records. So the Dutch had came into South Africa and settled it with the like covered wagons and the oxen across South Africa, this beautiful sculpture that nobody knew was there. I go to the nearest town, like maybe 10, 15 minutes away. They didn't even know what I was talking about. But some farmer erected this massive sculpture that had the whole world on it.
And it was the Ford tractors are like the pioneers going across with their wagons. It's like it's pioneers, it's homesteaders in translation to English.
And the fact that nobody knew what I was talking about was what made me interested in starting a magazine about here's what's next to you, like 15 minutes away.
That is so cool because, as you said, you know, unless your travels happen to take you there, you might not even know about it. I love that. You know, there's always something to discover in your own backyard.
I totally agree. I think when you know, that's the thing, is like looking at those, sometimes things have to be really big for you to be like aware and learn. Like you have to have that big sculpture to like kind of go, hey, you know, what's this about? What am I learning about? And that was about the four truckers going through that area that people didn't recognize that they actually did. Most people thought they went through kind of another part of the country. So it was very interesting. I think that's what's so cool about your book is it's not only showing the crazy and cool, like the roadside attractions, but you get down to little things as well. You get into talking about plastic. You get into always taking a take on like really worked on what's going on in the environment, which I've always appreciated with National Geographic. And the last few books, I think you've always had something to do with what's going on with the melting of glaciers, what's going on with plastic, what's going on to the pollution in our world. You have a photo that I think everyone saw on Facebook with the seahorse with the Q-tip inside the book. And I really appreciate that you do that so kids get to know what's going on in the world and can be part of the solutions.
Yeah, you know, we really truly believe that in order to care about something, you need to know about it. So, you know, when we talk about a lot of these environmental things or pollution things, we try and do it in such a way that we're getting kids interested in it because, I mean, for anybody, the doom and gloom can be really overwhelming and you can start feeling like, what can I do about it? Like, you know, this is such a massive, massive problem and it just kind of weighs on you. But, you know, so we kind of take the tack of, well, let's learn about it. Let's learn to love it. And then once you love it, you'll care about it. And then you can help other people love it and care about it. And that love spreads around. You know, when you're sharing amazing facts, like you mentioned in this book, we talk about glaciers. What we talk about actually are the sounds that glaciers make. And they make a popping sound when they start melting because of all the air bubbles in there. And of course, we talk about, you know, that's one way that scientists can track how fast a glacier is melting, because the louder and faster it pops, obviously the faster it's melting, unfortunately. But that cool fact that glaciers make noise, you know, that's going to prompt you to want to share that information with people. And, you know, like a viral meme, it, you know, can travel around and then people get really interested in it and want to know about it. And then they want to take care of it.
Mm. I love that. I think that's the coolest thing, is that you've got to have that intrigue. It used to be a long time ago, but everybody's like, oh, the world's going to end if we don't do this. And like that whole, nobody wants that. You know, no one wants to listen to it. And we've learned over the years that, you know, hey, let's just, you know, have education and also appreciation. That's why we travel to parks and public lands and document them and share, like, hey, look at this beautiful place. Did you know that's even in your backyard? You know, so it's so important what you're doing. You talked about the pop of glaciers, but you also talked about sand dunes that whistle and sing. And we've been through some, and they do. They hear that little sound. You know, it's, well, not always little, but, you know, going in sand dunes. We were in Great Sand Dunes National Park last year in Colorado. They're the tallest sand dunes we have in North America. And it's a trip. People slide down them, but you can hear things in the dunes, and you can hear them in the sand dunes on the beach too. So that's interesting when you go from the two extremes, sand to snow, or ice, I should say, glaciers. Yeah.
Yes, ice to snow. Although, of course, the way the sand dunes make their noise is a little bit different. It has to do with having a hard packed sand as the base and then a very loose layer of sand on top. So when the wind blows, it causes that loose layer to vibrate, making sound waves. So, you know, very different, but again, just a super cool phenomenon that people might not ever know about.
Yeah. And maybe not even thinking about going to sand dunes and that they're even in our country, you know. They're around the world. We think about the Sahara immediately. Nancy and I have had the fortunate opportunity of being in the Kalahari. We've been through sand dunes. In fact, our car got stuck with a bunch of sand in the gas pump. Remember that, Nancy? But we saw like lions and cheetahs walk through snow in the Kalahari desert. Like, that's cool. Like, yeah. And I think that these are the kind of things where people start to understand, like, places that you don't feel like you ever go, they can have some kind of like, oh wow, the desert is so much more than what we thought.
It's interesting to me that, you know, something like sand dunes, you think of pyramids, and then we have a dollar bill that has a pyramid on it. And I've always wondered, why do we have a pyramid on our dollar bill? It makes no sense to me.
That is a great question. You know, the Continental Congress, our founding fathers and founding mothers, founding citizens of the United States, were really into symbolism. And yeah, I'm not exactly sure why there's a pyramid, but I can tell you that pyramid has 13 rows on it to represent the 13.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In original colonies. So, you know, they really tried to pack everything with symbolism in there. And, you know, I think they also, too, turned to a lot of the more kind of established ancient symbolism. You know, like for the Great Seal of the United States, it's the one with the eagle on it. Mm-hmm. They turned to European heraldry and to, you know, family crests to find that kind of information. So, you know, a lot of these symbols have had meaning for a really, really long time. And I think they wanted the United States to have that kind of legacy as well.
It's funny because then there's that creepy eyeball in there. It's creepy.
Also,
I don't get it. You know, I always wonder, I look at my, I'm like, I don't get it. Because we've seen money from several different countries. And, you know, you look at it, then we come to ours, and I'm like, okay, I don't get this.
I know, England's got the queen.
Yeah,
all, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But then you come to ours, and we have a pyramid with an eyeball in it.
I know. I know. It's so cool. You guys have so many cool things. I mean, you have hidden, like, you've got like Angkor Wat, you know, you've got all of these like hidden cities and like Machu Picchu and all kinds of places in there too. So it's like just this amazing thing. And then you'll go all the way to how you can order a $24,000 pizza. Or no, wait, 24 pound. 1,000
pounds. 24 carat pizza.
Carrot.
Yes. It's
carrot.
Actually, it's
excuse
covered
me,
in
is
edible
carrot.
Gold.
Yeah. Let me have a lesson here. K is a carrot.
You did K like in gold.
Yeah.
This pizza, which it actually costs $2,700. It is covered in edible gold, and it has imported caviar and truffles, and I think there's some squid ink in the pizza crust. So, you know, not your typical pizza night.
But every kid is gonna love that. They're going to love reading about that. It's like, here's your kind of serious information, but this is like super cool, crazy, you know, because they, you know, it's like people put gold in their teeth and like, hey, check me out, kind of gold. And then now it's like you can eat your pizza and have gold on it. But then at the same time, it's kind of interesting with what you guys talk about in regards to gold and got all this Roman statue stuff going on. You've got everything in here that you can imagine where people can get into it. But I'm going to go back to the pizza. And if kids knew what happened in the digestive system of what happens once you swallow something, that there's bugs in there. And there's like electric bugs.
Oh, they're not quite bugs. They're bacteria, which, you know, I think we're all pretty familiar right now with gut bacteria. And we've got a whole biome inside our body of bacteria that really kind of controls a lot of what happens inside of our body. But scientists have actually recently discovered that the bacteria in our gut creates a little bit of electricity. So, you know, it's not enough. It can't power anything. You can't, you know, plug your phone into your belly button or anything like that.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
But for now, you know, it just kind of creates little tiny electric shocks inside of your gut.
You know where my mind goes. I totally right there in kid mode. Like, can we, you know. I'm sorry, I'm going right there to the fart land. I can't help it. Sorry. Can we electrify farts? Like, can we do that from our gut? Like, you know what I mean?
You know what?
Sorry.
Maybe some kid will read this and ask that question and grow up to study how to do that. So great.
You said PROA. That's
a new energy source.
I know. You guys, when you're putting these together, like, is this like a team of you getting together? I know you've been behind so many of National Geographic kids' books. You've even worked with Buzz Aldrin. You know, you've done Dining with Dinosaurs. I mean, did they have electricity in their guts? I mean, is that why they, I don't know, did that change the planet? You know, so I'm just saying, when you guys get together, do you have a team that gets together and all works on it? And then you've got to have giggle sessions at some of this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're working from home now, but when we're in the office, you hear down the hall somebody going, "What?" And, you know, you're like, "What? What did you just learn?" So, you know, we share all of these facts that we're constantly learning with each other. You know, and ideas for these books, they come from almost anywhere. They can come from, you know, a random fact that one of us as an editor reads somewhere. We have photo editors who work on our books, and sometimes they'll come to us and they'll say, "Hey, I found this really awesome photo. You know, is there interesting information about it?" And so then you research it and you're like, "Okay, that is pretty cool." So, you know, just there are ideas bouncing around everywhere. And then we work with a really, really talented team of writers who also come up with incredible ideas for books or for topics. And, you know, one of the most fun things is for a book like this, we hire either a writer or a team of writers. And then we say, you know, if we have any kind of parameters, like, for example, in this book, we wanted to make sure that we covered science and animals and sports and money and history.
Basketball. Yeah.
So, you know, we said, okay, cover these different topics. And then the writers send us an outline and, you know, just seeing what they came up with is just so cool. You know, like I said, you know, when we're interested in what we're reading, we know that the kids are going to be interested too.
Yeah, because we still like fart jokes and you know, electric gun stuff.
She's going back to that.
Yeah. And dog poop that lights up a town. Come on, or a city street. I mean, come on. But that's a really, I want poop street all over the country. I want electric poop street. Come on. That is the coolest thing ever. That's like, why doesn't everybody else do that? That's like a cool solution.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying. We need to start a movement.
You said movement. I didn't. No, but I love this. I love this. So when you get into the other thing is big, and the sequoia trees, the giant sequoias. Nancy and I have been there to California, Central California, numerous times, and it's one of our places that we cover in our magazines every issue. We're going there in the spring, so long as everything allows us, because everything keeps detouring us and people have more dogs barking on our podcast, the more detours we have. But the sequoia trees, I love that you put them in there, because when you're there, you really realize how big they are, like the largest living thing on the planet. Like, these are the largest trees, but they are the largest living thing by volume. It's amazing.
Isn't it absolutely incredible? You know, looking at them, they look absolutely stunning. But then we also have a fact in the book that shocked me, which is that the oldest sequoia has been around for more than 3,500 years, which means that this tree was around when King Tut was in Egypt.
Yeah.
And, you know, conceptually, that feels like so, like a whole different world so long ago. And this tree was alive during that time.
You know, that's a big deal, because sequoias don't normally do that, because they go down, because their root system is so short.
Shallow.
I've actually walked on a sequoia tree they're short, shallow. We were in Sequoia National Forest back in 2012, and we were there right after two sequoia trees fell down, one after the other, and almost hit these German tourists out there. They didn't get hit, which is great. And we went out with the forest, the rangers, and I was able to walk on a sequoia tree
that had fallen. And when you do that, you start to realize just how big these babies are. Like, they are massive. And it was weird. It was a really weird experience to do. And I don't know, man. People need to go and see them if you can, because the only place you're going to see them now is in the Sierra Nevadas. Back in the day, there used to be other places we did see, to the redwoods. And we've seen the coastal redwoods up in the Redwood Coast in California, but we did see, which is crazy cool. I know you're into this because you did the dinosaur books, in Florissant Fossil Beds in Colorado. They have some of the best fossils that you can find. They have fossils of hydrangea plants, flies, and all kinds of things, but they also have redwood trees that are fossilized from, you know, eons ago. And they're not supposed to be there, but they were there way back when. But they actually have these three petrified stumps of these trees, which I couldn't believe. I'm like, you're not supposed to be here because of what we think now in modern times. But I don't know, but it's just amazing. It's amazing what we used to have and now what we're left with. Could you imagine going back in time, you know, to see all this stuff when it was thriving? You know, it's kind of interesting. So
yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen a sequoia tree? Have you been to the sequoias?
I haven't, unfortunately. You know, it's something that has been on my bucket list, and it hasn't happened any time that I've been out in California, but, you know, I need to get out there one of these days.
Yeah.
Once it's safe to travel again and, like, actually see them in person.
Yeah. It's
incredible,
because even trying to photograph them, like, people have to put – you could probably have 10 people, depending on the tree, you know, link hands around the tree to actually circle around it 100%, depending on the people,
the
size of people.
I think the biggest one is 35 people have to hold hands around the tree.
Oh, wow.
That's how wide it is. But here's the thing. It seems to me the bigger the plant on the top side of the earth, the shallower the root. So they're storing everything within their own bodies, where other plants who are smaller have bigger root systems and are storing everything in their roots.
Short and sturdy.
It seems, I'm not sure of it. I'm sure somebody will email me and say no, but it's just a theory. It just seems to look that way.
But that's what I thought was so cool, what you're saying about the oldest sequoia tree, because that's just amazing. That's amazing, because so many of them do, because of their shallow root system, drop down at some point.
They
and nobody knows when it's going to happen. It's just one of those we don't know things. And they're just studying them all the time in the parks and the forests, and they're always coming up with new facts. So I think it's really cool. And talk about, like, if you want to be a tree hugger, like, that's the place to go, man.
Do that.
What was the most astonishing thing for you going through this? Because this is a whole series. The Coolest Stuff on Earth is not just one book, right? This is a whole series.
Well, this one is currently just one book, but very similar to our Ultimate Secrets Revealed book.
That's what it is,
came out last year. Yeah, I think that's what you're thinking of. And, of course, we have our Weird But True series and our Ultimate Weird But True. So, you know, we have no shortage of fascinating facts books.
Yeah, that's you guys managed to capture the imagination of kids. And I think that's what it is. It's like, every time we do things, it's like, you know, you're teaching kids how to blow things up in the kitchen that's not really going to blow up the house or the kitchen, but you're going to do things. Or, like, there's just, you guys have a way of capturing kids' attention and getting them interested. And I wonder how many of them run off to be scientists years later and, you know, environmental, like, professors or biologists or, you know, who knows? Don't you ever wonder about that?
Yeah.
Like, who read this? What happened from
well,
here?
You know, I certainly hope so. But even if they don't become scientists or environmentalists, yeah, I really hope that they take that curiosity with them, that joy of learning something new with whatever they do when they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Well, knowing how something works,
is really special. It actually makes you appreciate things a lot more, understand a lot more, understand the weakness and the strengths of what you're looking at. I mean, if you, I suppose you might be able to go through life never knowing how anything works, but you're missing, so much if you don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually working on a book right now about actually how things fall apart, which is so much fun.
Remember
what happens when you detonate a building, like when you implode a building, like how that building actually comes down. And we talk about what happens when you drop your phone and the screen shatters.
Yeah.
So, you know, understanding how things don't work is just as cool as understanding how they do work.
Yeah, because
when you said
that,
I just looked at my phone and went, uh-oh.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how you invent, when something doesn't work, that's how somebody comes along and invents what will work.
Yeah. Well, I think that's timely. That's timely from right now. Everybody feels like, what, our life was broken with COVID and all that stuff. It's like, well, this is when creativity is what we need to do. We need to go into and understand what's broken and fix and do and move on.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's cool. And I think what's really great about this book, National Geographic Kids Again, everyone, the coolest stuff on Earth, a closer look at the weird, wild, and wonderful, is that it reminds us that there is weird, wild, and wonderful stuff out there. We need to remember that as we're all like sheltered in place, or, you know, we're not normal right now. We're able to really live the way we did, but you need to know that there are these cool places out there, and you can still have these journeys through books and eventually plan to get there, because things will change. And I think that's the beauty of this book for sure, is it really lets us know that the world is a big place and it's super cool. And I love that about curiosity. Never let go of your curiosity, because we may not be able to fulfill everything now, means we can still like bone up on everything and make a plan to go and see it all and experience it. So
that's where all the fun is.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Shelby, thank you so much for joining us. Before you go, one thing. Did you read National Geographic as a kid to get involved?
Oh, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. You know, who doesn't? Who didn't read National Geographic?
Yeah.
It's such a great, you know, it's a great way to experience the world, and especially as a kid, to think about what you can do and where you can go, because the world is a big place with a lot of really cool stuff in it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Again, go get the book, and you can go to kids.nationalgeographic.com or also go to Amazon, all the places you get books. And if your bookstore is open, go ask them to, you know, get it for you. Go to the independent bookstores. I'll do it too. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.